My name is Justin Kurtz, as the bulletin says, and I see a lot of familiar faces and some not so familiar faces. There's a lot of people that are here that I do know, that I don't know, but there's a lot of people that I recognize faces that I don't know names either. So if Julie and I see you and we don't say hi and say your name specifically, we'll apologize for that ahead of time, but we're better with faces than we are names. We are currently living at Bethel Camp. And we have, I guess, pretty good representative here, actually, from Bethel Camp. Kim Miller has been a part of that, and actually her twin sister Kendra is here. She's a familiar face we see all the time. She lives down there with us. We're in the same area. Todd and Deanne are here. They've been down there at Bethel Camp. And I think the first thing we want to do is I just want to show you a little video. It's about 4 minutes from last year's camp, from 2009. Just kind of shows some of the things we do there, and then I'll talk a little bit about that, and then I'll just get right into the message. So. I'm going to go ahead and play that. Camp, and I feel like I don't want to advertise too much. I think if you look at our numbers, Kendra was saying we have like 20% of the registrations we have already for the summer for campers are from LCF. So I don't feel like we got too much advertising here. So we got a lot. We'll do all kinds of stuff like the video was showing. We've got a water slide. I think it's 125 feet long or something like that, and we just had a work group in there this past week that was helped smooth out. There's a mudslide came last spring, and completely covered that water slide, and so we had to have a work group come in. So the picture you saw was kind of with the clean water slide, but there was a giant pile of mud beside it. Well, we had a work group come in this spring and kind of level that out. We got all kinds of activities. We do some archery. We play some night games of Capture the Flag and some other night games. They're just a lot of fun. And then we also have two chapels every day, one in the morning, one in the evening. We have different speakers come in and share with us, with the campers, and just really try and help us to grow in Christ. And it's interesting that last song was kind of about prayer. That's our theme for this summer, is prayer, or pray. It's kind of the theme. And that's kind of what we're focusing on, and we're really excited about that, really excited about what God has for us. And what that's going to mean for us in our relationship with Him. So, a little bit more about the camp. It's $70 for a week of high school camp, $65 for some of the younger camps. But the big thing that I want to point out is it actually costs us $286 per camper to be there for a week of camp, and we charge $70. So we're starting off in the hole by about, 75%? But we do that because we don't want anybody to not be able to come to camp because of money. And so we want everybody to have that opportunity. And so we keep that price low, and it's because of donations from you guys and from all kinds of other people and churches that allow us to do that. So we're thankful for those donations and for those gifts that you've already given. And we do have scholarships available, too, I think. How many campers did we have last summer, Kendra, that came on scholarship? Yeah. 115 campers out of 356 campers, I think, that we had last year. 115 came on scholarships, so that's quite a big percentage there. So anyway, enough about camp, I guess. We're just really excited to be there. Julie and I have been there since January of last year, and I think it's been about 5 years since we've been figuring that out. About 5 years since we were here last at LCF. So we're glad to be back. It's been too long, but we're glad to finally have the opportunity. But I want us to preach this morning from chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's the only thing I'm going to look at this morning. So if you want to turn there, you can. That's great. The other thing I want to say is that when I preach, I have to do it from what God is teaching me, what I'm experiencing personally with God. And so if I, during this message, point to you, or if I say you, or if I sound like I'm talking down at you, I'm actually talking to me too, so please don't take it that way. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll just read it. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. So, the first thing I like to do whenever I'm studying for preaching or whenever I'm trying to figure out what God has for me after I figure out what scripture I'm going to use is, who is the author? Where do they come from? What is their life about? And the reason I do that is because it can often give us a picture into, or a little bit more depth of meaning into what the author is writing. And so, in this particular scripture, Paul is writing, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Church of Romans, and we're kind of getting a glimpse, or kind of reading somebody else's mail. It's interesting to think about that when you think about some of these epistles. It's really a letter from Paul to a church, to a group of people, and it's somebody else's mail, but it's also to us. So, about Paul, what do we know about Paul? Well, in Philippians 3, verse 5, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it. He tells us a little bit about himself. He says, "If anyone else thinks that he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless." And then I like the way that it puts it in the message, so I've got a parallel Bible here, convenient. I'm going to read that too. It says, "You know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the faith, of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting Christians." And this is the part I want to focus on here. It says, "A meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book." A meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. And the reason I want to focus on that is because Paul writes here, he says, "In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices." Living sacrifices. And so when I think Paul, or when Paul wrote that, I think he had something in mind, a deeper meaning in mind, maybe that we don't quite catch. He had a deep understanding of the Jewish sacrificial system, and all the sacrifices that were offered, all the offerings that were made. And so I want to look at a few of those. So I've done a little bit of research this morning. I'm sure this is a pretty shallow understanding of the Jewish sacrificial system, but I want to talk about it a little bit anyway. So there's several different types of offerings or sacrifices that were used for many different things. Now, the first one that I want to talk about is a burnt offering. And it's pretty common, if you look in the Old Testament, burnt offerings were made. And the reason that burnt offerings were made was they were to show total and utter submission to God. And what someone did was they would take an animal, and it would be killed, and that animal would be provided by the family or the person, whoever was offering that sacrifice. And the animal would be killed and then would be put on the altar and burned. Now, unlike some other sacrifices, in this sacrifice, the animal was to be totally consumed by the fire. In some other sacrifices, the priest would actually take a portion of it and would eat it and share it with his family, and only a small portion of that actual sacrifice would be burned. But in a burnt offering, the entire thing was to be consumed by fire. And that was to say, "God, I'm offering this animal to you. It's for nothing but you," to be burned, completely consumed by the fire. And so the symbolism there is, as that animal was being burned and consumed by the fire, so that person was to be consumed by God. It's kind of the symbolism that you got there. And a couple examples of that. One, when Noah got off of the ark after God had flooded the earth, the first thing that he does is he builds an altar and he offers burnt sacrifices to God. I think that's pretty appropriate after seeing the power that God has to flood the earth and to rid the world of the evil that was in it at that time. I think it's pretty appropriate for Noah to say, "God, I'm standing back. I'm submitted to you. My life is yours." And then also in Genesis 22, Abraham, when he is asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, is to be a burnt offering. And so God asks Abraham, he says, "I want you to take your son and to sacrifice him to me as a burnt offering. I want you to kill your son and to burn him on the altar to me, as a way of showing your submission to me." And so Abraham takes his son, and we know the story, he takes his son, and as he's about to do that, God actually stops him and provides a ram for that sacrifice. But just the idea of Abraham being willing to submit himself to God in sacrificing his own son in that way. And so that's just an example of submission to God. So back to our scripture here in Romans. When Paul is writing to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, I think he's got in mind that burnt offering. And he's saying, offer your bodies as a burnt offering to God, as a living burnt offering. Offer your bodies and your lives in submission to God, is what he's saying. In total submission. And total submission means everything. It means every part of our lives. It means if God says, ask you to pick up your family and move to Africa to go to missions, to sell everything and go to Africa, or sell everything and go to Costa Rica, I don't know. That total submission picks up your family and moves as God has asked you to do. If God asks you, says, you've got a second car, said, there's somebody over there that doesn't have any. Why don't you give your second car that you don't use to that person? Total submission takes that car and gives it to that person. Or if God says, I want you to go over and to buy this person a meal and to eat it with them, to give them company, total submission goes and does that. There's no halfways, there's no compromises, no deals with God. Total submission means everything, giving everything to God. And so, just like that burnt offering was totally consumed by the fire, so our lives as living burnt offerings are to be totally consumed by God. And that's the first sacrifice. I've got five here. The next two, actually, are the sin offering and the guilt offering. And these are somewhat similar, but a sin offering is pretty much what it sounds like. A sin offering was given, was made, so that a specific sin, could be covered. For example, if someone told a lie, they would make a sacrifice to cover that sin of a lie. Now, the interesting thing about the sin offering is that it was made, the size of the offering was directly proportional to the size of the sin. So if someone told a lie, say, we would consider that a smaller sin. And so they would offer a smaller sacrifice, like a bird or something, you know, something small like that. But if there was a big sin, like adultery or murder, you know, those big sins that those things we label as big sins, then it would be something much more substantial, like a cow, or, you know, something that would be expensive, that would cost this person something for the sin that they've committed. And so that offering would be made, the sacrifice would be done, and their sin would be atoned for, it would be covered. And so that would be a sin offering. And then a guilt offering was made for a couple of things. One, if somebody had made an offering or sacrifice and there was something on the altar and you stole something from the altar, if there was a goat on the altar and you stole some of that goat because you were hungry, a guilt offering would be done to cover that specific sin of stealing from the altar. It was also made for a breach of trust. If someone told you something in confidence and you went and started gossiping about it and told it down the line, and that would be a guilt offering would be made for that. And a guilt offering was also made if you didn't know whether you had sinned or not, to cover a gray area. If you thought, well, maybe that was the right thing to do, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, but I'm not sure, so I'll offer a guilt offering because maybe I'm guilty of it, and that then you'd be covered then. You'd be all right with that. And knowing the Jewish law, there was a lot of gray areas that were created then by the Pharisees and things like that. So I think then taking that and applying that then to the living sacrifices, because remember, Paul knows all these things. And if we apply that to offering our bodies as living sacrifices, I think then Paul is saying, offer your lives to God by living lives of repentance. You know, we've been once we've accepted that final sacrifice that Jesus made to cover our sins, we are forgiven. But that doesn't make us perfect. We still live lives that are full of sin. And so Paul is saying, don't be arrogant, don't be stubborn. God knows you're not perfect, God knows your sin. Live lives that are repentant of all those things that keep you from him, all those things that keep you from being holy and keep you from having a right relationship with him. He said, live lives of repentance. In other words, live lives that are like sin offerings or guilt offerings to him. And then the fourth type of offering that was made was a food or a drink offering. And this was done similar to like a tithe, kind of. It was done to say thank you to God for his provision. So if someone, for example, had a good crop of grain one year, or if they had a good batch of wine, particularly robust, they would offer a food or a drink offering by giving some of that grain or some of that wine to be put on the altar and would be sacrificed, would be given to God to thank him for allowing them to have such a good batch or such a good harvest. And so the interesting thing about that is the grain or the wine that was given was not from what was left over after they sold it. It was from the first and from the best of what these people had. The offerings that were made were from the first and the best. The best of the wine was where this drink offering came from, was what they gave to God, or from the best of the grain was what they gave to God, was their first and best. And so Paul is saying, give God your first and your best. The thing that comes to my mind when I think about this whole area of giving to God things is when we make a donation to Goodwill or there's a coat drive from the Salvation Army or something, what's the first thing we do? Well, the first thing I do, actually, I go to the back of my closet. Actually, I was thinking about this morning. Kendra's husband, Darren, does not wear coats, and I don't know why. He has hoodies. He doesn't have a coat, or didn't for a while. And so we thought, Kendra was like, wait, I need to get him a coat. And I said, well, I think I have some coats. And what did I do? I went to the attic to go through some boxes to find a coat that I didn't use that Darren could then have. Well, why would Darren want my old coat that's been sitting in the attic? First of all, he's a lot bigger and a lot more muscular than I am, so it didn't fit. But I think that's not what God wants. God doesn't want our leftovers. He doesn't want the things that we don't use anymore. He doesn't want our time and our energy that's left over after we go and we play sports, or after we stay up late watching a movie, or we stay up late playing video games, which is what I do, or after we do all those things that we feel are important in our lives. God wants that energy first. He wants you to give him first and your best. So that's what Paul is saying. He's saying offer your lives as food or drink offerings to God by giving him your first and your best. And then the final offering was a peace or a fellowship offering. And these sacrifices were given as an expression of thankfulness to God, just general thankfulness or gratitude. So think about your life. And think about what God has done in your life. As I think about what he's done in my life, the first thing that comes to mind is obviously salvation that he's provided. And in order to do that, just the whole thought of him coming, humbling himself, this God, holy and righteous being, pure, humbles himself to come as a form of a human. And in order to do that, he comes as a baby. I've got a 9-month-old baby. And so I found out 9 months ago how babies come into this world. I kind of knew before that, but I found out in more detail how babies come into this world. And it's an experience that, while it's a great experience, well, for me, I don't know about Julia, if it was a great experience for Julia, but while it's an experience, great experience to have this baby, this helpless thing in your hand, you also realize he's completely helpless. God came as a completely helpless being, dirty and messy and spit up, and I don't know what they had for diapers back then, but that's how God came into this world. He chose to humble himself that much to come into this world. And so as I think about that, I'm just more and more thankful and just kind of in awe of why would he do that? But if that wasn't enough, then he went and he died a horrible death. Not just died of old age. He died a horrible death. He was murdered. He was killed for us. His blood was shed for us. And then if that is not enough, think about all the blessings that we've been given. We have houses to sleep in when it's raining and windy outside. We have cars to drive. We have friends, and we have family, and we have just all of creation, really, that God has given us to enjoy. And so we have so much to be grateful to God for. And so Paul then is saying, I think he's saying, he's connecting that, and he's saying, you have so much to be thankful for. He said, live your life as an offering. Live your life as a peace offering in thankfulness and gratitude for God, to God for what he's done. So then Paul says, after he says to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is not the way the world lives, to live as sacrifices to God. That's not the way the world lives. But it's not the way, we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be different. We have reasons to be different. We should be making different decisions than the world makes. We should make different choices and lifestyle than the world makes. But how am I supposed to be different? How do I achieve being different? We offer our bodies as and our lives as living sacrifices. One, we offer our lives in total submission to God, like a burnt offering. We offer our lives in repentance of our sin. We live giving our first and our best to God as a food or a drink offering. And we live a life that is thankful to God for his generous love and mercy that he's given us. And then Paul writes, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I guess to tie this back to camp, one of the questions I hear most often at camp, or one of the thoughts I hear most often at camp is, what's God's will for my life? What is his plan? I know he has a plan, but what does he want me to do? How does he want me to do it? And then I think if we do this, if we live as a sacrifice to him, Paul says, then you will know what his will is for your life, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we live as sacrifices, we will know what God's will is for our lives. Why don't we pray? Dear Father, I just thank you so much for your word this morning, for your message that you've had for us. Father, I pray that we would be able to apply it to our lives. God, I just thank you for sending your son to die for us, that we could be in perfect relationship with you, even though we're imperfect, God. You've chosen to make that way for us to have that relationship with you. God, we just love you so much. We thank you so much for all you do for us, for all the blessings that you've done in our lives. And we just pray that we continue to grow from this point forward because of what you're doing in our lives and what your will is for our lives. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.